Good morning. We're moving on from our letters to the next section in our Revelation study. Here's our outline. Remember, chapters 1 through 5 is the revelation of Jesus Christ. We did chapter 1, which is our introduction. Now we've done chapters 2 and 3, which is the overview of the church age, the letters to the seven churches. And now we're moving on to the last section in the first grouping, the throne room. We're going to do chapter 4 today. But before we start chapter 4, I had someone ask me last week, one of the letters said, if you conquer, you will be given the morning star. And someone asked me what the morning star was. And that was in the letter to the church in Thyatira. The morning star represents Christ. Based on the text we've already read, we know that a star represents what? An angel. But this one's even easier to interpret because Jesus actually tells us directly. Really quickly, turn with me in the book of Revelation to chapter 22. Verse 16 says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star.
There it is.
So Jesus is the morning star. So those who conquer get Jesus. All right. So let's start this morning by reading in chapter 4. We're actually going to read the whole chapter because it's pretty short. We're going to start at verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, and around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones. And seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments, with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. And before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass, like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them had six wings, full of eyes all around and within. And day and night they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. All right, so now we're getting into some what could be confusing stuff. Thankfully, the Holy Spirit's really cool, and God was forward-thinking in giving us the entire Bible at this point in the history of the world so that we can better understand what it is John is seeing. So we're going to work through it together. Starting from the very first verse, John says, after this I looked, and behold. I think it's safe to assume that what is happening now happened after John received the vision of the Son of Man, because he says, the first voice I heard, the one that sounded like a trumpet. So he's already been given the instructions from Jesus to say, hey, write down everything you see, right? After this, after he received the instructions, he looks and there's a door open to heaven. John then says, Jesus, the one with a voice like a trumpet, tells him to come up, and he's going to show John what must take place after this. Must take place. John immediately finds himself in the Spirit, which is going to be important as we go on and talk through a couple of the things that he sees. So it's, my understanding is, an out-of-body experience, because flesh cannot enter heaven. So if John is entering heaven, he's immediately in the Spirit. It's not his sin body, it's his Spirit, which is sinless. So John goes up, he follows the voice, he goes up to heaven, and Another indication that he is not in his body is because what doesn't happen when the trumpet voice talks to him? He doesn't pass out. It doesn't knock him out. He actually does what he says. He goes and immediately is in the spirit. So he gets up there and he sees a throne in heaven. And the one seated on it has the appearance of jasper and carnelian. And there's a rainbow over the throne that looks like emerald. So this is jasper and carnelian. Carnelian can also be called sardius, I have found. They're very similar. But the one sitting on there looks like that. And then everyone kind of knows what an emerald is, green. Here's an interesting fact for you. Emerald is found mentioned in the entire Bible 5 times. And every time it's referenced as part of the temple. Twice in Exodus is because the emerald is one of the 12 stones that is placed in the breastplate of the priests of the temple. Do you know what those 12 stones represent?
12 tribes.
The 12 tribes of Israel. Once in Ezekiel, he refers to the covering of a precious stone that was over the king of Tyre, which a rainbow, an emerald rainbow, could be called a covering over the throne. But each tribe was given a stone. Guess which tribe the emerald belongs to?
Levi?
Judah.
Oh.
The tribe of Judah, the tribe of David, and the tribe of the Messiah. So it makes sense that emerald would be the color of the rainbow that they're seeing. It also makes sense why Ezekiel would refer to the covering of every precious stone to include an emerald. So around the throne, John sees 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. And then whoever these elders are have received white garments and they have crowns on their heads. So what in the world could that be? Now there's a couple of things we have to remember. Numbers are of significance in the Bible. 12 is a number that represents government in the Bible. And it's a holistic form of management or oversight. 12 tribes of Israel. There were 12 disciples. They were given authority. But there are 24 elders. We're going to actually turn back in scripture to show us who might be sitting on these thrones. We're going to first turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 28. It says, Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." First of all, in this passage in Revelation, it calls them elders. John says he sees elders, or men, sitting on these thrones. There are 24 of them. In a previous study, I believe it was Katie actually mentioned that 24 is a representation of all church leaders. So, this was also something that came up in my previous Revelation study through another pastor. Highly recommend Verse by Verse Ministry. You can get their resources through our church website, actually. But he says 24 also represents the entirety of the church from creation. So the apostles created the church all the way through the ages to the end to include the 12 tribes of Israel. It is the whole church representation is what that 24 signifies. But I also think it's more than that, because based on what I read in my study, I think what we're seeing in those seats are the 12 disciples and the 12 tribes of Israel may very well be the sons of Jacob. So that's 24 sitting there representing the entire church body, right? And we know that they're people because they're wearing white garments and they have golden crowns on their head. We just learned from the letter of Sardis that those who conquer will be given white garments, right, that represent Christ. And it is a common theme through Scripture. Another place that we see this is in the book of Galatians. Chapter 3:27, it says, "For as many of you as we're baptized into Christ and have put on Christ. Additionally, we see the theme of being given crowns throughout the Bible for those who belong to the kingdom of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing," the crown of righteousness. We also learned about another crown in our letters given to those who were martyred for the name of God. So these elders are men sitting in this throne that John is seeing. Next, John describes what he sees coming from the throne. He says, "From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. And before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne, what there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal." Again, there's the number thing, the seven torches, the seven representing the seven spirits of God. And there are a number of times in the Bible where we see lightning and flashes of thunder. It happens all through the Old Testament. It happens in the New Testament, clearly. Each time it's found, it's referring to an action from God. Sometimes it's his speaking. Sometimes it's judgment. But anytime it's given, God is present. When the thunder and lightning are occurring, God is present. It's a simple reminder of who God is, the breadth of his power put into something that you and I can see or hear. Even still today, we can see lightning and hear thunder. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be outside when there's lightning, because it can kill me. God is that powerful, more so, right? But it's a anthropomorphic representation of the power of God. All right, we also see the reference to the seven spirits of God, and we've heard this before. It was in the instructions in chapter 1, right? It says, "Before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God." If you'll recall, again, in chapter 1, when it says that, we learned that meant it was the Holy Spirit, right? But we're given an additional clue this time that is, in fact, who it is, because it says seven torches of fire. We're going to talk about the seven torches of fire, or the lampstand. In Exodus 25, it outlines the requirement for the golden lampstand. It had seven lamps, or seven torches. It's described in Exodus 25, verse 37. It's actually described in Exodus a couple of different times. 25:37 is the one that I am referencing today. But it was made from a single piece. So there are seven torches, but it's one piece. It was located in the temple in the holy place. There are no windows in the holy place. It was the only source of light for the priests entering in there. It was a representation of the presence of God being in the holy place. And who in our life lets us feel God? The Holy Spirit. Seven lamps made from a single piece of gold. The Holy Spirit is what is being represented here as the seven spirits of God. All right, let's talk about the sea of glass. That was the one that most confused me. And I'll be honest with you, I actually went back to my old Revelation study because I was like, what did he talk about? He didn't. I'm like, darn it, what's the sea of glass? So I went searching, because I was like, I gotta know what this is. John wouldn't describe it if it wasn't important. But I discovered something really, really cool. So now we're all gonna go down a rabbit hole together. Let's turn to the book of Ezekiel. And I know it's gonna be a lot of reading, but we're gonna read several verses in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1, because I feel like the whole passage is actually relevant to chapter 4 in Revelation. We're going to read verses 4 to 28. "As I looked, behold, a stormy wind came out of the north, and a great cloud, with brightness all around it, and fire flashing forth continually. And in the midst of the fire, as it were, gleaming metal. And from the midst of it came the likeness of four living creatures, And this was their appearance. They had a human likeness, but each had four faces, and each of them four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like burnished bronze. Under their wings, on their four sides, they had human hands. And the four had their faces and their wings thus. Their wings touched one another. Each of them went straight forward without turning as they went. As for the likeness of their faces, each had a human face. The four had the face of a lion on the right side. The four had the face of an ox on the left side. And the four had the face of an eagle. Such were their faces. And their wings were spread out above. Each creature had two wings, each of which touched the wing of another, while two covered their bodies. And each went straight forward. Wherever the spirit would go, they went, without turning, as they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of torches moving to and fro among the living creatures. And the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures darted to and fro like the appearance of the flash of a flash of lightning. Now, as I looked at the living creatures, I saw a wheel on the earth beside the living creatures, one for each of the four of them. And as for the appearance of the wheels and their construction, their appearance was like the gleaming of beryl. And the four had the same likeness, their appearance and construction being, as it were, a wheel within a wheel. When they went in any of their four directions without turning as they went, and their rims were tall and awesome, and the rims of all four were full of eyes all around. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went beside them, and when the living creatures rose from the earth, the wheels rose. Wherever the spirit wanted to go, they went, and the wheels rose along with them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. When those went, these went. When those stood, these stood. When those rose from the earth, the wheels rose along with them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. Over the heads of the living creatures, there was a likeness of an expanse, shining like an awe-inspiring crystal spread out above their heads. And under the expanse, their wings were stretched out straight, one toward one another, and each creature had two wings covering its body. And when they went, I heard the sound of their wings, like it was the sound of many waters, like the sound of the Almighty, a sound of tumult, like the sound of an army. And when they stood still, they let their wings down. And there came a voice from above the expanse over their heads when they stood still, and they let down their wings. And above the expanse over their heads, there was a likeness of a throne in the appearance of sapphire. And seated above the likeness was of the throne was a likeness with a human appearance. And upward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw, as it were, gleaming metal, and like the appearance of fire enclosed all around. And downward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and there was brightness around him, like the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud on the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness all around. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard the voice of one speaking. We're going to talk about it. Because this is really where I got excited. I want to focus first on verses 22 and 26 in this passage. Above the expanse of their heads, there was a likeness of a throne in an appearance like sapphire, and seated above the likeness of a throne was the likeness of a human experience. The sea like glass. If you'll notice, it said above their heads was an expanse like crystal. It's the veil. Ezekiel was seeing the veil from below. John is seeing the veil from above. When Ezekiel sees the four creatures, if you read the whole book of Ezekiel, the story that he's telling is those four creatures, which are usually surrounding the throne when it's in heaven, protecting God's glory because they are cherubim, which we will get to in a little bit. When Ezekiel saw the four creatures, they were picking God's glory up and taking it away from earth. That's why he saw them with wheels, kind of like a chariot. They were underneath the throne room because they were taking it away because Israel had disobeyed. And God was removing his glory from the temple and from the Israelites. removing it from earth. So they're seeing the creatures in two different states. And we'll get into that a little bit more. It's not a salvation issue, just some cool facts that I found while I was researching. We'll get into that in a minute. But the sea of glass is the veil. Ezekiel saw it from below. John sees it from above because he's in the throne room. He's in the spirit. Ezekiel was still in the flesh. Okay, so let's talk about the creatures that John sees. Before we go back to Ezekiel's description, I actually want to read a third description that's given by another man, Isaiah. And it's given in chapter 6 of Isaiah, verses 1 through 4. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke." Now, there are some notable differences in Ezekiel's, what he recalls seeing, what John recalls seeing, and what Isaiah recalls seeing. However, through my study, I think they're all the same creatures. I'll explain why. The locations are different. For one, John and Isaiah see the creatures in the throne room in the presence of God. Isaiah was given a vision of the throne room. He wasn't actually there. It was a vision of the throne room. Isaiah.
John and Ezekiel see.
Well, they all see the throne. Isaiah and John see the throne room. Ezekiel sees the throne from below the veil.
Okay.
And he sees the four creatures on the earth. Isaiah and John see the four creatures in the throne room. They are not on the earth. So the location is different. Ezekiel's account is outside of the throne room. Isaiah and John are inside of the throne room. So as a result, their sight of the creatures looks different. Ezekiel describes seeing four creatures, each with human likeness, but with four faces and four wings and wheels. And he says that he can see their feet, but Isaiah and John don't see their feet because wings are covering their feet. Ezekiel says he sees four faces, one of a lion, one of an ox, one of an eagle, and one of a human face. Isaiah sees six wings, two that cover the face, so he doesn't see their faces, two that cover their feet, so he can't see their feet, and the other two, they flew. And they sang, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." There's a lot less description from Isaiah, except he says he sees six wings. But Isaiah hears the same worship song that John hears in the throne room, because they're in the throne room. So when these creatures are in the throne room, they are worshiping God. John sees four living creatures full of eyes. So Isaiah doesn't mention the eyes, but John sees the eyes, and Ezekiel sees the eyes. Full of eyes in front and behind. But John says the first was like a lion, the second like an ox, the third with the face of a man, and the fourth like an eagle. So the same creatures, but Ezekiel saw those faces on all four sides of all creatures. John says he just sees the one face. But John also says they are singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come," which we also heard Isaiah say he heard those creatures singing. So here's why I think that they're the same creature. First of all, John says he sees the creatures around the throne, right? Around each side of the throne. He's very specific. I want to kind of get interactive today. So can I have four people come up here? This is going to be our throne. I want one person to stand right here facing that way. I want one person to stand right here facing this way. One person stand right there facing this way, and then you stand right here and face that way. Now, if you're standing over there and you're looking this way, what side of the face are you seeing? Okay, so you see a human. What's on this side? Ezekiel says on the right side, I think was the ox. So what are you seeing, right? That side would have been a lion, right? Well, there's your eagle.
Oh, eagle.
So, John is seeing those creatures because they're on each side of the throne.
Okay, that makes sense.
That makes sense.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, you guys can go sit down.
Okay, thank you.
It was easier to explain. I was trying to figure out how I could draw it out in my PowerPoint slide, and it's not as clear. Because these creatures have four sides. And if they're all facing the throne, you're seeing a different side. No matter which side of the throne you're standing on, you're going to see four different creatures. So I think they're the same creatures. And I went into this huge rabbit hole. I even called Katie because I was like, I need to talk this out with someone because I think I'm sounding crazy. But it was kind of one of those things where you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited because I think I found something really cool. Isaiah calls them seraphim, and I can go into this whole big thing about that. I don't think seraphim is a name of an angel because Isaiah is the only one in the entire Bible who uses that term. I think it's a description of what he saw. Because if you look at the root word for seraphim, it actually is like flying fiery serpent. And I think Isaiah saw this thing flying at him, because if you read that, that flies at him with coal and touches his lips so that he can speak. If you don't know what you're looking at, this thing has six wings, and it's clearly every time Ezekiel says when they move like lightning, and they're fiery in appearance. I mean, what would you call it? It's a dragon. Dragon! So I think it was a description of what he saw. I don't think a seraphim is an actual type of angel. Again, this is not a salvation thing. It's purely that I found that interesting. Isaiah is the only one who uses that term. I wonder how we determined that they were different creatures, because it's always these four creatures and always in the throne room. So it's really just an educated guess on my part. And it's also not really important. I just found it fascinating and I wanted to share it with all of you guys. The last thing I want to talk about again is the wheels, because Ezekiel says he sees wheels and four wings. Again, Ezekiel sees these creatures on earth. Isaiah and John sees them in the throne room with wings covering their feet. Ezekiel sees the feet and he sees wheels. The Hebrew word that's used is ophan to describe wheels. That's the word that Ezekiel wrote. It actually can be translated as to revolve. So hear me out. What if the last set of wings rotates like a propeller, and that's how they moved? That's why he could see their feet, and why he saw wings that seemed to move everywhere those creatures went, like they were attached. Again, just a theory. That's why he only saw the four wings and these wheel things that were covered in eyes, because John tells us that their wings are covered in eyes, right? Not important. Was a whole big rabbit hole I went down. I thought it was really fascinating. I wanted to share with you guys. So anyway, Ezekiel also tells us that these creatures, when they move like lightning. Maybe so fast that they cause lightning. But again, Isaiah says that they were fiery, and he describes seeing lightning too. John sees lightning coming from the throne. The purpose of these angels is to protect the glory of God and to worship. And we see they're doing their job. When John sees them, that is what they're doing. They are surrounding his throne. I can assume, based on Ezekiel's description, their wings were likely spread and touching. If John could see their faces, I would assume that their wings were touching each other, surrounding the throne. And when the creatures exclaim their cry of worship, all of the elders fall and lay their thrones or crowns at his feet, and they worship with him, because that's all they can do. When you're in the presence of God and you hear worship to God and you're seeing this glorious thing, I can just imagine that it's almost involuntary, that your body just wants to fall and join. because God is worthy. He is our Lord and God, to receive glory, honor, and power, for he created all things, and by his will they existed and were created. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, once again, your mysteries, the gift that you've given us to be able to study and understand them together, to be able to ask questions, to have given us the entire Bible so that we can go back and study. We can see the things that you wrote in the Old Testament that were mysteries not yet to be revealed until you gave us the New Testament, Lord. Thank you for the apostles. Thank you for the church leaders. Thank you for Israel itself, that because of the plan that you intricately laid out, we get to be a part of this. We get to learn, we get to study, and we get to have peace and joy and excitement in knowing that when that end comes, we are going to be there with you. We're going to be there worshiping. Lord, I pray that you be with each of us as we leave here today. Be with us as we study on in your word, eager to learn more. That we be keen to listening and open our hearts to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.